stand to our feet. Heavenly Father, you are more than wonderful. Mortal lips can't even begin to declare, Lord, your worthiness. Lord, you deserve everything that's within us, our lives, our souls, Lord, everything about us, oh God. You are worthy of all of that and more. And to think, Lord, that you shed your precious blood and you purchased us. You regarded us then, therefore, more valuable, oh God, than your own blood. Lord, how much we ought to esteem one another, knowing how great your children are in your own sight, Father. And so, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you've done that. You've washed us with your blood. We who are so unworthy. But Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, Father, to gather together with saints of like precious faith. That once again, we can come to this little oasis in the middle of the week. And then just to fill ourselves up again, Father. We don't come to hear man speak. We come with one desire, oh God, and that's to meet with you. So we pray tonight you just have your way. Have your way perfectly, Lord, in each one. Just move this person out of this vessel and just step right in, Lord, and have your way. And every vessel that's out there too, oh God, fill each one, I pray, with your Spirit. And just have your way, Father, we pray. We ask it in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Musicians, thank you so much for ministering to us. God bless you. Amen. And while you're standing, and I don't mean to keep you standing too long, you can turn to Psalm 107, 21, 22. But before we begin, Brother Derek, where is he? He's not even here. There he is. Wonderful testimony, Brother Derek. That is wonderful. I was just saying, Brother Derek, carry on, brother, carry on. Amen. But you know, that's what it's all about. You know, the Lord is wonderful in how that he meets our every needs. And if we just sit and think a little bit, we have all a testimony to share somewhere of how he's met us and so forth. Brother back there in the final row, I don't even, who are you? Andre? God bless you, brother. You're all right. You're welcome to be with us. We're so happy to have you. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you so much. Amen. We're just delighted to have you. May the Lord richly bless you, I pray. Amen. Thank the Lord. God is so good. He's so mindful of us. While you're standing, please let's open up your Bibles, if you would. Let's turn to Psalm 107. We know that all things work to the good, to those that love God. Amen. Verse 21, 22. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's then also, if you would, turn to Philippians 4, verse 6. And 7. Give you a chance to turn there. It says, Philippians 4, 6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Just bow our heads again. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. We pray, Lord, you just break to us the bread of life. This we ask in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. And I trust everybody's doing well. The Lord has been with us, and he's mindful of us. And I am very confident that he's meeting each and every one of our needs. Amen. One of the things last time I was up here, I just spoke on those little foxes that spoil the vine. And last time I spoke on temptation. And tonight I'd like to speak another one of those little foxes. And that is negative thinking, complaining. These things here that don't build us up in faith at all, but these destroy our testimony. These tear things down. Amen. But, you know, and please, if you want to say amen, that's perfectly fine. Amen. I need all the encouragement I can get. Amen. God is good. Amen. And this is for each one of us, okay? And you get into it what you get out what you put into it, right? Amen. And I'm nothing, and I don't have to tell you that, you know that. But God, he's everything. Isn't that right? He's absolutely everything. He deserves all of our praise. Amen. I'm so very thankful for that. And we know that. But, you know, instead of it, you know, grounding it negative, I want to ground it positive. Is that okay? So What it is positive thinking, positive confession. Okay? Yeah. And we know, and we are told, that the right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass in our life. We know that. Sometimes we hear that so often it gets threadbare. Okay, but it's the truth nonetheless. Amen? And we know in so many ways, you know, we're actually in the mind age, we're told. Isn't that right? You know what Brother Branham said? We go through the different things. We went through tongues, right? Gifts of tongues and insight, you know, and through the prophetic. And now we're called to put on the mind of Christ. But as we are here, right, in the mind age, where we are called to enter into the full thoughts of God, okay, there is a counterfeit. And we also know, too, that the greatest battle that takes place is right here in the mind. And while we are also growing in understanding and revelation of God, Satan has got a counterfeit, and he's doing everything he can to infiltrate the mind. Right? That's exactly what he's trying to do. Amen. And we see that everywhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I know this too, along with the praise God. So the greatest battle that takes place is in the mind. And that's where the devil chose. The meeting ground is right up here. God chose the heart, if you will. But we're engaging the devil, if you would, right here between our ears, okay? So if you've got a battle raging, there's a reason for that. It doesn't mean that you have sinned. It doesn't mean that you've fallen from grace. It is just what it is, okay? And the Lord asks us, amen, to fill our hearts, our minds with his word. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now we know what the devil is trying to do right now. I just want to insert something here real quick. I got to step on it, and then I'm going to get off of it, okay? The devil is going to do everything that he can. He's been busy at it for 6,000 years, and he's gotten very good at it. They even want to stick stuff in your brain, right? They want to set you in this dimension right here. We're called into his dimension, and he wants to stick something in our brain to keep us in this dimension. And Satan right now, he's got so many shinies, right? So many things that try to attract our attention. You know, he's got tablets and phones and the internet. You know, the internet is a veritable a manifestation, if you would, of the knowledge of good and evil. Everything that you can find, it has a lot of good things in there. You see the Word of God. You see wonderful testimonies, and you see nature and wonderful documentaries of the handiwork of God, things that are truly wonderful that bless you. But also it's got every kind of wickedness and debauchery and anything else that man can think of, you can find there. Anything to damn you and to take you away, right? To cause you to interrupt that relationship that you have with God. That is what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to move you away from the image that he has of you, okay? He's got an image of you, amen? And Satan is doing everything he can to move away from the image that God has for you, amen? And every time an evil... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. Do you remember one time? Just want you to think back. Brother Branham makes a statement. He says, we rent a woman, this is back in the 1960s, okay, from a woman that has television in her house. I never intend to have one in my house. No, sir. I don't want nothing in my house. I would blow it out with my shotgun. I don't want nothing to do with that evil thing. No, sir. But let me tell you, you Arizonans here, you see that analysis the other day of schools, 80% of the children of Arizona schools are suffering with mental deficiency, 67% of them by looking at television. What about that? In other words, 60% of them had TVs. Not everybody had televisions in their home back then. We didn't for, you know, a good long time, till like 65, kind of telling how old I am, you know, old enough to view at that age. But Brother Branham, 1964, 65, is, I wouldn't have that in my house. It is an evil thing. Now, evil only means that it gets you away from God. That's simply what evil is. It turns you and moving you away from God. And how far along that continuum determines how wicked, how degenerate. The further away, the more degenerate, the more debauched, the worse, until full Satanism. You see, what would he say nowadays about what is before us now? Guard your hearts. Guard your hearts, guard your minds. Now you're no spiritually stronger and alive than your knowledge of and adherence to the Word of God. Okay? God is drawing us to His Word. And from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You are what you eat, right? Whatever you take in, whatever you're feeding on, from the abundance of the heart, that's when somebody bumps into you, that's what spills out. When a circumstance comes along, what comes out? When you come to a red light, when you're pressed for time, what comes out? What comes up to your mind? Do you say, ah, or do you say, praise God? You say, Lord, you're in control of everything, that you've got a purpose and you've got a plan for everything that I'm doing. And even if I'm late, you've got a purpose in it. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I got to add one more thing, please, and I'll step off of it. Are you okay? You know those smartphones, those iPads, you know who invented that or who came up with the idea, right? Steve Jobs, head of Apple, okay? He came, that was his brainchild. And then after 2 years after launching it, somebody came up with all excited. He says, oh, your kids must really like the iPad, huh? And he says, I don't know. They don't have one. I don't let them have one. He says, because I can see how addictive they are. And I see there's a danger there, and I don't want to subject them to it. Now, here is a man with that kind of exposure, but also seeing the inherent dangers of it, he wouldn't let his children have. And yet so many parents are just putting that in front of their kids. And they even say, one more thing, bear with me here, but this is good stuff to know, that when you put a screen in front of a child, particularly under the age of 5, that it stunts their brain development. It doesn't develop like it should. So don't think you're an evil, wicked, bad person if you don't let your kid have an iPad or an iPhone or something like that. You're actually doing them a big favor. I just want to say that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. So the devil is doing everything that he can. Another thing too, a former founder of Facebook won't let their children get on social media. That should tell you a lot. Amen? Guard your hearts. Guard your homes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'll get off that. Move right along here. See, the screen is tantalizing. It's meant to be. Satan is its inspiration. He's the one that's inspiring all of this. What is he trying to do? He's trying to draw our attention away from God. He's trying to cause us to not spend time in prayer, right? Amen. He just a little bit longer. You know how it is, and that happens to me. I'll just raise my hand. I'm going to go look at something here. I'll get on, and real quick, then all of a sudden, there's something else, and then something else. And that is just exactly how it's designed to do it. Amen. But it's in the presence of the Lord that we have our growth. We can't, even if we read the Word of God, okay, we can't read the Word of God like a newspaper. We need the Spirit of God to come and to quicken that, to make it live inside of us, right? Amen. And so, but to do that, you need to spend time with the Lord. It's not something quick 5 minutes here. You got to just take that sacrifice. And it's a sacrifice, it is. There's a lot of things that we make time for, amen? But if you want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, we need to spend time with Him, amen? Yeah. Amen? Praise the Lord. So even though, now believe me, I believe the Word of God. I believe that the Word of God is true. Jesus said, all that my Father has will come to me. And I won't lose a one, not a one. I don't care how shiny the devil dangles things. He will not ultimately take God's children away. Satan has a way of getting attention, but God has ways of getting attention too. He might have to put us flat on our back in the hospital looking up at the ceiling. Whatever it takes, our soul is more important to him than this outer body. Don't fear him that can kill this, right? This isn't anything to God. Fear him who's not only able to kill the body, but to throw the soul into hell. It's our souls that are precious. They're precious to the Lord. Amen? And he knows how to keep his own. Praise the Lord. So God will send trials on our way. He'll send desperations any way that he can to turn us. Because it's not the good times that people use, you know this, to serve God. A lot of times it's the hard trials that come before us and all of a sudden we have nowhere to turn but to the Lord. God has ways of getting our attention and he'll do it and he does it and it's his love that does it. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. So if your mind is stayed on him, you're not going to be grumbling. You're not going to be depressed, right? You're meditating on the Word of God. You trust him regardless. Even if you feel a little depressed, your mind is stayed on him. You say, I might feel this way, but my feelings have nothing to do with it. God's word is true. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's where we want to be, right there. Our mind stayed on him. Now, years ago, there was a man by the name of Norman Vincent Peale. Most everybody here has not heard of him, but I could probably pick out a couple in here that have heard of him. Old Methodist preacher way back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, he made a big thing about the power of positive thinking, okay? And he tapped into a truth of the Word of God. He was a Methodist minister, after all. And some of the things he would say, he says, the way to happiness is keep your heart free from hate, your mind from worry. Live simply, expect little, give much. Scatter sunshine, forget self, think of others. Try this for a week, and you'll be surprised. You know, that's good. That's good. But a lot of that, too, is kind of a self-betterment. It's really, the emphasis isn't how to surrender yourself and give yourself wholly over to God. For him to do is however he decides to do, okay? There's another fellow by the name of Carruthers. Merlin, I think his first name was. Power of Praise. That actually is an excellent pamphlet if you have that. Anybody read that, Power of Praise, Brother Don? It's actually a wonderful testimony. It's just a book of testimony. Just open it up. And that how he learned that whatever things to give thanks to the Lord, no matter what. Number one, you know that God is in control of all things. Number two, that he's mindful of you. That no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, God has a purpose in it. And you need to praise him. You need to praise him. And if you get that little book, and I have it, if somebody wants to borrow it, I'll be happy to lend it. It's a wonderful book, just testimony after testimony of God's faithfulness to his word. I'll just give you one little testimony out of that book, if that's okay. There was this couple, he was a chaplain in the army, and there was this couple that came into his office, and they were very distraught. First, the woman came in, and she was just crying uncontrollably. She was very upset because her husband was during Vietnam and was called to go into the Vietnam War, into the theater. And she was very, very upset about that, to where she was suicidal. And Brother Carruthers told her, he said, you know what you need to do is thank God that your husband was called to go to Vietnam. Thank him that he was called to do that. And of course, that really made her very, very upset. She couldn't wrap her mind around it. So she goes and gets her husband. Her husband comes in and says, what did you tell her? And he told him. And they were both there. And he says, well, now I understand why she couldn't understand, because I don't understand. And he says, no. See, you got to see. And he was taking them through the scriptures and showing them that God causes all things to work together for the good, that in all things to give thanks. Bring them right in through the scripture. You see, there's a foundation for this. Nothing happens by accident. You need to not trust in your own thinking, but to trust in the divine hand of God fully capable. Well, they got to it. It got them to settle down and got them to agree, to pray. Just thank the Lord that you're called to go to Vietnam. And so they left, and they seemed to feel a little better. It's kind of, okay, we're going to trust God. We're going to trust God. Isn't that a wonderful place to be? That regardless of what, I'm going to trust God. And so they left, but she went out into the waiting room out there. And while she was there, just trying to take it in and just to settle down and settle her spirit and just to kind of, just to receive from the Lord this wisdom that was just given to her. And while she was sitting there, and you understand the reason behind her distraught, and here's the reason behind her distraught, was because she didn't have a mom, she didn't have a dad, she didn't have a brother or a sister. The only one that she had in her life was her husband. And so she was terribly afraid that she would be bereft of everybody that she had loved and known in her life. That's why she was so upset. And you can understand her position, right? So she was sitting there in the waiting room. And while she was sitting there, a guy came in, this fellow, and he says, I want to see the chaplain. He says, oh, he's right in there. He's a little busy, but, I'm sure he'll be happy. I can go in and tell him you're here. And I says, what are you here for? He says, well, my wife wants to divorce me. And he says, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Don't bother telling that to him, But so they sat down and started talking, and he brought out his photographs, and he started showing him his wife, showing her his wife, showing her his kids, and turned it over, and just like that, another picture showed up in that album, and she says, who is that? She says, oh, that lady, that's my mother. Well, that's my mother too. He says, how can that be? Well, when I got adopted, my adoptive parents gave, you know, let me see a picture of my mother, what my mother looked like, and that's the picture. So she knew what her mother looked like, having never met her. And here he comes, and this turns out is his brother. Now think about that. What are the odds of that? 200 million people in the United States at that time, and they could have been anywhere. And here they were in a military base of all things, in a waiting room, waiting to see a chaplain. And here, getting reunited with her brother. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't God wonderful? And while they were out there, then her husband in the meantime was walking across the parking lot, and he got acquainted with an old buddy he hadn't seen in a long time. And he happened to be an officer there in the Army, and he had just been assigned to some kind of a military intelligence thing. And says, I tell you what, why don't you quickly put in a request to join me, and you won't have to go over to Vietnam. And that's what he did. And that's what the Lord worked out. So he didn't have to go to Vietnam anyway. But the point is that if you're willing to do whatever God has given to you, right? If you're willing, God is then able to move and to work. As long as we're not trying to manipulate and make things happen, right? It's really let go and let God. And that's how God manifested himself. So praise the Lord. So God is in control of all things. And in his purpose, we can trust, we can praise, we can rejoice. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now Romans 12, 1, you're very familiar with that verse. You can turn to it or you can just quote it. It says, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that we should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Amen? Amen? So you see, the word says we have the mind of Christ. Amen? And there is a maturity there. There is a stepping forth into to understand that this is what we are ordained to walk in. To walk in that mind that we have. We have to see as he sees, to think, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, regardless of what we feel, regardless of what we see with our eyes. Amen? Regardless of our circumstances. Doesn't matter how big those giants are. We are more than able, right? We walk with the eyes of faith. And it doesn't mean that sometimes that we are exposed to something that is very, very uncomfortable, even threatening. But in that time, you know, even Jesus says, when you're given over, think about that. When you're given over, to take no thought of what you should say. He didn't spare them from being given over. But they got to see that when they bring a child of God into their presence, they have got a trouble on their hands. And they don't know what they have before them. They've got the living God standing before them in that believer. He says, don't even think of what you're going to say. Don't even think about what you're going to say. Just step aside and let me speak. Let me answer to them. I want you to think of how mighty, powerful God is. One man in God is a majority. It doesn't matter if there's a whole army surrounding you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. So now, Brother Branham said concerning the bride, she has the mind of Christ. She knows what he wants done with the word. Now, is that the truth, or is that just a platitude? And if that be true, what about now? Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. We have the mind of Christ. Regardless of what happens, give thanks. Regardless, no matter what you find yourself, whatever your situation is, you give him thanks. Amen? In our infirmities, we praise him, thank him regardless. They have nothing to do with how God loves us. Just because things are going bad, it doesn't mean you're out of the will of God. Could be, but not necessarily. He is just testing, just trying. And it's okay to go through and take inventory. That's good. But once we've taken inventory, we've looked, we've repented, we did everything we know to be right, and these trials are just there, the Bible says to stand. Having done all, to stand. And God, that peace that passeth all understanding, amen, will come, be upon us. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. So he knows that what is best for us, even physical affliction, it teaches us to trust him more. He is able to deliver and heal to the utmost. But he wants to mold our character, to teach us to confess and exercise our faith, to confess his word no matter if everything is seen to the contrary. He is the high priest of our profession, right? He cannot mediate over negativity. You know, if we're negative, we don't give him anything whereby he can do on our behalf. It short circuits him to, you know, God is omnipotent, right? But I mean, this is his word. This is what he said. He is the high priest of our profession. So we've got to give him back his word whereby he can say, amen. He has just pronounced my word. She is standing on my word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Grumbling doesn't bring him on the scene. Neither does complaining. I'm preaching to myself, okay? Okay? He inhabits the praises of his people. Psalm 22:3. But thou art holy, thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. Amen. And the other thing, the verse that we read, be careful in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that? That's ours. Amen? That's ours. And I hope that's your testimony tonight, that I have got the peace of God. If you don't have it, it's for you. It's for you. He wants you to have it. He wants you to trust. Amen. And someone also concerning worry, define worry as assuming responsibility that didn't belong to you. I thought that was really good. Yeah, worry is assuming responsibility, something that's out of your control. If it's out of your control, then don't worry about it. As a believer, amen. You shouldn't have a single worry. Praise the Lord. Matthew 6:31, Jesus said, wherefore take no thought what we shall eat or what we shall drink or withal we shall be clothed. For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Think about that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. And believe me, there's a lot of things out there that want you to give thought of what tomorrow holds, things of which we have no control over. And Jesus said in his word, he says, don't take any thought of tomorrow. For the morrow will take care of the thoughts of the things of itself. And this is a real profound word here. Sufficient until the day is the evil thereof. That is a big hmm. That really is. The Lord wants us to trust him fully, completely, in everything. Don't worry. God is with us. Amen. God will provide. What do you have need of? Don't worry. You need a healing? The healing is for you. Just don't worry. You might have to go through some time of testing, some time of trial, but God, the healing is for you. Claim it. Amen? It is for you. Praise the Lord. Brother Branham makes a statement. He says this, the Lord therefore makes a covenant with his followers. He says, in effect, if you will put God's interest first in your life, I will guarantee your future needs. I'm sorry, this wasn't Brother Branham, but this is a good quote nonetheless. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then I will see that you never lack the necessities of life. Isn't that good? He makes a covenant with his followers. He says, if you'll put God's interests first in your life, I will guarantee your future needs. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then I will see that you never lack the necessities of life. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. God is with you, Sister Lenore. Amen? He'll provide your every need, every need. Don't fear. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't worry. Don't think a negative thought. In all things give thanks. God is more than able to deliver, to heal, to save, to provide, to rest, to give rest, to fill you with joy. Oh, there's a good one. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy. Amen. Joy. You know that we dishonor him when we worry. Yeah. Worry is just an attribute of unbelief. That's all it is. Praise the Lord. Now, this is what Brother Branham says. He says, today, he says, today, when we believe God with all of our heart and accept his Son, the Lord Jesus, and God recognizes that faith is true in him, then he sends back down the Holy Spirit of promise and seals us until the day of our redemption. My, that takes all the scare out of all of it. There's no negative thoughts at all in Christianity. Everything is a past tense. It's already finished. I mean, think about it. You're sealed. Your destination is in glory. Your future couldn't be brighter. Couldn't be brighter. Couldn't be better. Amen. Healing is not what a man can do. It's what God has done. See, it's a finished work. Salvation is not what a man can do, what the church can do. It's a finished work, and your faith is in that finished work that Christ completed everything that was brought in the fall. Christ redeemed it back in the atoning death, the vicarious suffering at Calvary's cross, and he put in the grave, and God raised him up the third day for our justification. You know, here it is. Now he's sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession upon our profession, or the same word is translated confession. And no matter how much you pray, how much you cry, how much you agonize, and how much you do, it'll never be accepted. God can do nothing for you until you first, by faith, accept it and believe it and confess it. We need to confess it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the only way that God can act now is when you act first. because he is a high priest making intercessions on your confession of your faith in the finished work. And that's, and there's many, many quotes. He says, let him that's weak say, I'm strong. Just say in your heart, I am now strong. I am now accepted. I have now accepted Jesus as my healer. And never have any negative testimony anymore. Just believe it. God is under obligation. You know, Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father to accept you, for he is sitting there, the high priest of your confession, to make good before the Father anything that he died for, that you're confessing that he's done. Amen? Amen? Now, God is faithful to his word. We know that. You know, the Bible says that he puts his word even above his name. Think about that. He puts his word even above his own name. And as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's thoughts higher than our thoughts, and his ways higher than our ways. How can we possibly begin to understand God? We can't, but we by faith believe and accept it. Amen? Amen. So put your total confidence in a God whose word he put above his name, and he says that heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or one tittle of my word shall pass. His word is true. Amen? Amen? Let no negative thought come in. It should put every negative thought aside. Amen? And meditate on that word. It is the power of God. It is the transformation. The transformation, the power of transformation comes from meditating on God's word. And you are what you eat. Right? Let's meditate on God's word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Every time you get sick, you are prayed for, and you go out and get a little sick. You say, well, I guess I lost my healing. Then your testimony becomes negative, and Jesus can't say no more for you. He's the high priest of your confession sitting there, making intercessions on your confession, what you believe. And all of you here that's saved tonight, you get in your head that you're not, go around saying, I'm not saved no more, you're not saved. That's a big word for a Baptist, isn't it? You're backslid whenever you do that. That's right. I believe you can backslide, sure. But you've got to have your testimony and your confession positive. Not according to my feelings, but according to what he said. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right, I'm going to wrap up here. You'll never live above your confession. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. Praise the Lord. Amen. You could just go look that up. He said it so many times. Why is that? Why is that? He wants to drill it to us. Believe God's word. Stand on his word. Amen. Positive thinking, positive confession. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Musicians, if you want to come. Hebrews 12:11 says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Praise the Lord. Stand always in the word of God. Let your testimony be positive. Amen. Can we stand to our feet? And let's give the Lord praise. How about precious word ever true? Which one is that one? Do you know that? I think it is Word of God 53. Very good. In the handout insert. Praise the Lord. Holy words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength and help us grow. In this world where we roam, the word of God will guide us home. Word of God ever true, changing me. Bless your name. Can we sing that? Praise the Lord. Start us up, would you please?
Risen strength with bleeding stripes, Paul and Silas prayed that night.
Amen.
And in their pain began
Serve a living God. A living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. All is well. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Christian, you want to close tonight?
Thank you that we could come here and worship you, and I pray that we would all think about these things and bless our rides home tonight in dear Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So as we get dismissed from the sanctuary, remember, we're just going to, people might be here praying, whatever, let's just be reverent, and let's remember to do our talking outside, okay? Love y'all. You guys are just awesome in Christ. Such a blessing to me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Bless your name.
They are free.
Bless your name.
I bless your name.